I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're radio only today, as usual, working from our homes, as usual, and on the line with us from his home, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean. Hello, Brandon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, John. How about you?
Good, good. I know you did a news conference with the Buffalo media about an hour or so ago. And I want to start out by, you said that next Monday you're going to make a special announcement of a game, a kind of a contest, rather, for Bills fans to engage in and help with the coronavirus relief. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to donate, a sizable fund, and I'm also going to have, I don't want to lay it out there yet, but some things related to the draft, some opportunities for any fans that would contribute to this United Way fund to help all of our people in need right now in the Buffalo community. And it's going to a great cause. And the more I understood about it, the more fired up I was to do something like this, try and offer some experiences that would never be offered, right now, whether it's, I'm not going to give it. I'm about to give away, and I'm not going to do that because I'm going to save it for Monday. So Derek Boyko and our community relations people, Michelle Roberts and Gretchen and that whole crew have done a great job of working behind the scenes so that I could keep my eyes on the draft stuff. They've been doing a lot of legwork with the United Way to get this set up so that it's easy for our fans to do this. So I think sometime Monday morning, it'll be out there, and I really hope that we'll be able to raise a lot of money to help a lot of these people in need.
Okay, we look forward to that. Steve, what do you got?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I wanted to ask you more about, some of the stuff you've already talked about to the media this morning, but the first question was, people want to know about how the Diggs thing came about, the Stephon Diggs trade came about. You said something interesting to me, and I think I heard it right. Did you inquire about Diggs during the regular season? And if you did, how did it finally come about?
Yeah, I inquired about several receivers during the regular season, and some of them got traded and to other teams, and some of them didn't. And it was one of those where either the price was too high or, sometimes people wanted to trade them to a different conference. And so sometimes you win, sometimes you don't, but none of them worked out for us. We finished the season with kind of the crew we started with. But some of that recon that we did on Diggs per se at that time, Minnesota was just adamant that, and I don't blame them. They had a good roster and that wasn't a player they were willing to remove. But, I don't know all the reasons why they were willing to do it. I know they needed some cap space and he has, a sizable contract and they're trying to make some moves for their roster. And I know things had not always been perfect with him there. And so we just decided, at that time, based on the opportunities of what we could add in free agency versus the opportunities of the draft, that this was the best player. He's a young player in his prime and just felt like it was the right fit.
I wonder, I have more than one question on the Diggs trade, Brandon, but I think you said this, that the price you paid in terms of draft picks, first round, fifth round, sixth round this year, fourth round next year, that's kind of what it would have cost to move up in the draft to get to where you could get more of a sure thing at wide receiver this year in the draft. Is that right? Is that a comparable in a way?
No, what I was saying was I would have had to give more compensation to get higher. The player or players that I thought, you know, without me giving away who those would be in the draft.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to have to get higher than picks 18 or 19 to do that. And so, and then you have to find a trade partner that's also willing to do it. There are teams ahead of us that are in need of receiver. And still, we know the transition, you know, I mentioned this on the media call. Receiver probably has one of the highest fail factors of guys that do really great in college, but some of them don't always translate. And a lot of it is not physical skill set; it's mental and the preparation that you have to do. So this was a proven commodity, a guy that's in his prime, and I just felt in my mind, this is us moving up from 22 to, you know, 18 or 19 in the draft, and this is who we're selecting.
I have one more Stephon Diggs question, and you were asked this, I think, by Vic Carucci about Diggs' 2019 campaign. He, for some reason, just wasn't right with Minnesota and complained a little bit. I'm sure you guys did extensive research into what the nature of his problem was and his character, right? He's not going to be a problem when he's with the Buffalo Bills, right?
Yeah, you don't expect that. Listen, I don't have a crystal ball or anything, and sometimes I've been around players before, and not everything was perfect. You know, I was around a guy named Steve Smith for a long time, and Steve Smith is, you know, a Hall of Fame player, and you know, some of the things that make them good on the field, sometimes they maybe say things in the heat of the moment. Just I know Steve's been around guys like that in his day, and there's a fine line. But the one thing I wanted to emphasize on there, I think it's a little bit of a misnomer out there, John, is that Sean and I are looking for choir boys, and that's not the case. We're looking for competitive guys, professionals that want to be great at their craft. And I think you've even seen some things. The thing that we found out about Stephon is this guy's a hard worker. He's passionate. He wants to do well. Maybe there's been some times where his passion has gone outside the lines or, you know, or something like that. And we all grow, we all mature. There's things I did in my 20s that, you know, I wasn't perfect either. That maybe I said some things I shouldn't have said. So I believe where he's at, that this situation in talking to his agent through the process, that this will be a great fit for him.
No, just let me go on record as saying I never did anything I regret in my 20s. So I got to lump three guys together for you and kind of give me a rundown on all three. Vernon Butler, Quentin Jefferson, Mario Addison. You lost Shaq Lawson. You lost Jordan Phillips. We kind of all thought you might do that. But these three guys you brought in, when I went over and looked at what they had done in years past, you almost statistically – If everything was the same, you almost got better with these three guys after you lost two really good players in Shaq and Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, time will tell. You know, Mario is definitely a proven commodity, and I was explaining on there that this is a guy I have a great affinity for, a guy who is a self-made man. I mean, he was undrafted and bounced around and out of Troy, smaller college, and he made himself – I honestly signed this guy off the Redskins practice squad because watching him at his size run down on kickoffs, I'm like, this guy could be developed into a fourth defensive end and be, you know, a great player on special teams. And that's what he started out as. And then he learned how to be a rusher. And Eric Washington, who we talked about, really helped develop this young man. And he is a pro's pro. I know, you know, one of the comparisons, which is funny, you know, he brings a smile when you guys will see him. He brings a smile and a passion. I don't know if you remember Joe Webb when we had him a couple years ago. Sure. And it's funny, they're both from the same hometown. But I don't know if what's in the water there. But anyway, he's just, again, he's not flashy. He's not a big name. But when you turn on the tape, Steve, this guy is producing sacks, pressures, hits, the things that we want out of our defensive ends.
With Brendan Bean, the Bills general manager, we're going to get to draft questions in a moment, but we're kind of recapping free agency here, Brendan. And you had interesting things to say about Vernon Butler, former first-round pick when you were at Carolina. It seemed like that factored into it, and also his relationship with Eric Washington. Maybe Washington got the best out of him in recent years at Carolina?
Yeah, I think, you know, in fairness to Vernon, you know, we did draft him in the first round, and like anybody, sometimes guys don't translate as well. He played at Louisiana Tech, a smaller college. And when guys play at small college, you want to see them dominate at that level. And you did see him dominate. And that's why we made that move. It was the year after we were coming off the Super Bowl. We drafted him, I think, 31st. So he was playing behind Starr and Kawan Short, you know, who two very good players themselves. And so he was playing in that rotation, not starting. And he never really solidified himself as a starter, even after Starr left. But this year, watching the film, it looked like after about the third or fourth game, it looked like the light came on for him. And things started to translate. The physical skill set is there. You watch this guy go through bags or, you know, the drills when we're at training camp. You watch this guy. He's got all, can flip his hips. He can play the three tech, the one tech. Not a lot of guys can do both, and he does have that skill set. It's just, you know, I think maturity, learning the game, learning his strengths, and then, you know, again, sometimes the light comes on later. I kind of compared it to, I hope, what, you know, Jordan Phillips, he was a second round pick. The light didn't come on right away. Maybe everything wasn't perfect for him in Miami. He came here and really honed in on what he needed to do. And I thought, you know, really set himself up to get a nice payday. And again, we would have loved to have kept Jordan, but we also, he had earned that right, and excited for him. You know, I called him after, you know, he got that that contract with Arizona, and wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. You earned the right, and you guys were good enough to let him do it. I think that'll speak well to other players who want to come here and on those prove it deals. If you're not going to like tie them up or be in their face, if they earn something, you're going to make sure they get it. I thought it was a really great gesture on your guys' part to leave, to have a guy like Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson leave on great terms. I mean, they enjoyed it here. And they got everything they were hoping for, even though it was with another team. I got to ask you one thing about Quentin Jefferson. This is something that Bills fans probably are not familiar with, a guy who plays on the West Coast in Seattle and the other conference. But what does Quentin Jefferson bring, and how did he catch your eye?
Yeah, he brings versatility. And again, I talked about familiarity. You know, I can see what's on film, but I don't know the player, what's inside. And Dan Morgan really did a great job of explaining who Quentin Jefferson is and was on the field, off the field, and just talked about how passionate he is and what a competitor and a pro, not somebody that's going to need guidance. This guy knows what it looks like. He is versatile as well. You know, Quentin, I think, could even come out. He could go outside and play some base end, left defensive end in our system, also with the versatility to play the three tech spot. So, you know how we love position versatility, whether it's the O-line, the D-line. And I think that's what we got in adding Vernon and Quentin, two different versatile. Quentin can go from three tech to outside. Vernon can go from three tech to the one tech. And so position flex, versatility, and guys who maybe had not, for whatever reason, put together a year that would get them the payday that Jordan and some of these other guys got at the D-tackle position, but that come in here and we're going to let you have a chance to prove it. We rotate 8-9 guys up front. Some teams don't rotate as much as we do. That's the philosophy we go with. And so I think that's the selling point, that you're going to get your rush chances here if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in practice and in games.
We're live with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager. Hey, Brandon, one, I guess, trend that Steve and I made note of the last couple of weeks, and it's mostly the Bills, but other teams as well. It seems like free agents are signing shorter deals, and maybe you guys lead the league in bringing in guys on one-year contracts now, free agents. What's going on there? Is that in fact a trend around the league, do you think?
I think it can be team to team. Also, it can be where you're at in your cap or how you want to manage your cap. You know, not everybody manages the way we do, and vice versa. You know, with us, you know, this year we did have some one. A lot of times, if it's a player who thinks that they are worth more than what the market is bearing. If I'm dealing with a player, and let's say this player and his agent feel like he belongs in the $8 million range, but teams are really offering in the $4 to $5 million range, and he can't get a team to commit to where he sees him, the agent may say, hey, let's do a one-year deal at, you know, five, and let's go prove it, and then let him go back to the market. So sometimes it's player-agent driven. They're not getting the market. And sometimes it's our opportunity to say, hey, listen, we can't sign you to a long term, but we have a great system that will showcase your talent for 1 or 2 years and get you back to the market. And it's a win-win. We're not tying up long-term dollars cap-wise, and they're able to reestablish their value. Maybe they've had an injury. Maybe they've played in a system that didn't showcase their talent. Maybe they were drafted under a different regime, and new coach came in and didn't fit well. So there's a lot of reasons, but I think sometimes it can be team-driven, John, and sometimes it can be player and agent-driven.
I got to ask you, Brandon, you're on the cusp now. We haven't seen you. You haven't had to do this yet as the general manager of the Bills. You've got guys you've drafted that have played extremely well, and now you've got to start re-signing them. You did re-sign Quentin Spain. Jordan Poyer was one of the first free agents that Sean McDermott brought in. You re-signed him, but now you've got Tre'Davious in line. You've got Josh is coming up. You've got Tremaine on the horizon, all these guys on the horizon, and you got to line them up. You started by re-signing Quentin Spain and Jordan Poirier. Tell us about the philosophy and how you're lining these guys up so that the guys that are near and dear to you are going to stay here.
Yeah, you know, we want to reward our own. We do, and as I said this on the media call, Steve, in a perfect world, you'd love to every guy that does it the way you want. You'd love to keep them all. Economics doesn't allow you to do that because my job is to keep one eye on today and one eye on tomorrow. What does it look like for some of these guys you mentioned? You know, Josh, Tremaine, and guys that were not allowed by league rules to extend yet. But then Jordan Poyer, you know, Jordan was signed, you know, by Sean right before I got here. And, you know, he played three good years for us. And so we wanted to come up again. There are other guys that we've wanted to extend that it didn't happen because it's got to be a win-win. It's got to be we put a value on them. The agent does his job to put a value based on what he thinks the comps are, and if we can come to a consensus on what that value is, that's the best deals. And so sometimes it's a matter of opinion, and it's not that they're wrong or we're wrong. It's just it's not the right fit for the right time, and sometimes that happens, and guys go to free agency, and we sign them back, like Quentin Spain, or they go to free agency, like Shaq, Jordan, and Kevin, and they find a better opportunity. So, again, the names you mentioned, you know, and on the media call, you know, Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, some of those guys are able, and we will look at those at the right time. But again, it takes two to tango and get a deal done. And you know, I want our fans and media to know just because we don't sign a guy back doesn't mean that we didn't want him. It just maybe meant that they wanted to explore free agency, or we couldn't get on the same page at what their value was.
Live with Brandon Bean as we have a few minutes left here. Hey, Brandon, normally in a normal year, this time of year would be extremely busy for you and your player personnel staff, right? With 30 visits by college prospects, with pro days, all kinds of visits. How are you filling in those gaps now that you can't do that this year?
Yeah, we're just doing it different. They're very busy. We're doing a lot of Zoom calls with our scouts and coaches and trying to connect with these college players through the various means of, you know, FaceTime, Zooms, whatever, you know, video conference app you got, and trying to fill in as many holes. And medically, you know, my training staff, Nate Bresky and his crew, are trying to research some of the guys that didn't go to the combine or maybe that would have been coming to the medical rechecks. Where are they at? Trying to maybe get some imaging of, you know, if a guy has a foot or something, a shoulder, so that we have the best data that we can. Is it perfect? No, John, but you know, nobody's dealing in a perfect world right now, whether it's football or not, with all we're dealing with. But a lot still going. We're just having to restructure our draft meetings. Like right now, every day, I'm meeting with my college scouts on these type of Zoom calls. Not as much group film as we would do in our draft room We're kind of having to divvy up and separate and then get back on and collaborate through these conference calls.
What do you not know about how it's going to work on draft day? Do you know anything about what you're going to be allowed to do? Who's going to be in the room? Where you can meet it? What do you not know that you normally take for granted?
Yeah, you know, right now the league is still volleying ideas. You know, last week there was some talk that we needed to find a remote site due to state laws about not being able to you go to the facility because essential, non-essential workers. So, you know, we have an option if we're not allowed to use the facility. Now what we're waiting on, Steve, is it was floated the other day through some calls in the league that maybe you would be able to have up to 10 people, everybody spaced 6 feet apart. But I'm not even sure that's going to happen right now. To me, now it sounds like it's going to be less than 10 people at a remote site or a certain number of people at our facility like normal. But we got a great staff. Dan Evans in our IT department is unbelievable, and he's already got us set up for both options, still finalizing some things once we know. But we're going to be ready. Again, Steve, you look at what all the crisis around the world with what doctors and everybody's dealing with, like this is nothing. I kind of roll my eyes when I read some of these comments of people stressed about how am I going to be ready for the draft or this and that when what's going on in the medical right. And the people on the front lines.
Last question for me, Brandon. How much contact are you allowed to have, and what do you know about how it's going this offseason for Josh Allen? We all saw him take a big step forward in his development year one to year two, and we all kind of hope and pray and kind of expect him to take another big step in his development. How much contact is the team allowed to have with him, monitoring what he's doing in the offseason, and how much feedback have you got from him about what he is doing?
Yeah, you know, we're not really at this point allowed to get into football with him. But Josh is great. Josh will just randomly call. He'll usually FaceTime me, and he'll be somewhere. Sometimes he's in a car with his girlfriend Brittany, or he's somewhere else. He usually does it at the most inopportune time for me, but it's great. He's in a great spot despite this. I think, like everybody, he would love to be out there training with as many people as he can. That's not an option where he's at. I don't know specifically daily what he's doing, but I have no doubt he was training. I know that with Jordan Palmer and his guys, and I know they were going through their routine. I don't know today what he's doing or what the rules are in California, but I've just encouraged him and all our guys to stay safe, stay healthy. That's first and foremost, getting ready for the season.
One more thing, Brandon, Steve and I have talked a lot, even the last couple of days. There is no shortage of theories about what the NFL should look like and what the season should look like, where games should be played, should fans be allowed, et cetera. And we kind of, Steve and I came to the realization, I think yesterday, it's still, and fortunately for the NFL, it's still too early to worry about that, right? There are bigger issues to be resolved first, and there's still time for the NFL to figure out how to have a season, if in fact they can have a season. You agree?
Yeah, 100%, John. I just think there's so many unknowns. I mean, you know, even I try not to do the news too much because, it can just be so tough to watch and so negative at times. But I think there's so many unknowns, and the things that you read out there, they're learning every day about this and trying to find, you know, cures and vaccines and things like that. I don't have any idea what July 1st is going to look like, you know, much less September 1st. So I'm just going about it and encouraging, and Sean's done a great job too of encouraging our staff. Let's focus on the now. Obviously we have the draft in front of us. Let's put all our stuff focused on that. And then when we get to May, you know, we'll see where things are. We'll see what the league has put out there. You know, I think at some point we'll probably be able to, maybe have some type of virtual off season with the guys, maybe send them some workouts or something. I think that's being discussed, but that'll be next. And then we'll see what the summer looks like. Hopefully, you know, pray to the good Lord that this thing will start going in the right direction and that we can all get back to somewhat of a normal life again, John.
Yep.
Brandon, thanks for coming on. It's great talking to you. It's great seeing you, too. We're doing this on Skype, and it's good to see you. I hope you're all well and your family stays safe and healthy.
No, same to you, you guys all too, Steve, and to all the listeners out there. I know they love that you guys are still finding a way to do your show. Again, I know my dad listens back home in Carolina, so I know you got at least one listener there. But to all the Bills fans out there, I just want to tell everybody to follow the guidelines that are out there and stay safe, and we look forward to getting past it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.